This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. Love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. Holy conversation is what we call it. We love having holy conversation right here on Women of Grace Live, and I so enjoy hearing from you. Yesterday, so many of you called in. We couldn't get to everybody, so I'm hoping that some of you will call back in again today, and I hope that some of you who didn't call in yesterday, we'll call in. I do want to remind you, if you're a first-time caller, we certainly do want to know about it, because then I get informed, and guess what I get to do? I get to ring my first-time caller bell, which welcomes you for your debut right here on Women of Grace Live. So if you have never called in, oh, please do call in. We can just chime away all through the time that we are together today. Again, the number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. As I like to say, don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. We want to hear from you today. I think that should be put to music. I say that often enough, and nobody's taking me up on that, opportunity. It could be like an original jingle for Women of Grace Live. That would be so much fun. Anyway, so I want to let you know that we're also available for you through social media. Just get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page and use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll get that retrieved and up on the board, and we will be able to address what your concern is. I'm sorry, goodness sakes, what to say. Know that we want to know who you are and where you are. If you're not listening to us via social media and just using that as the means by which you communicate with us, well, let us know how it is that you are listening. You can also text us. Text your question or comment to EWTN by texting the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. We'll get it retrieved and up on the board. Pedro Quiles is doing the retrieving. And get this, so exciting. Our call screener today is Jack Williams. Ah, my husband. Be sure to tell him hello when you call in. And give him your question or comment, and we'll get it up, as I say, on the board, and I will chit-chat with you about it. Vanessa Sanchez is our producer. She's making it all happen, pushing those buttons and doing those levers and whatever it is that they do there in the control room in the studio area of EWTN. That's what she's doing today. And that brings us together. Do want to remind you to get out there and to check our website out. I'll tell you, we've got all kinds of stuff going on. Very excited about so many things. June the 7th is a Saturday, and it's the Saturday before Pentecost Sunday, which is the following day, June 8th, and we are going to be having a one-day Pentecost event at St. Andrew the Apostle Catholic Church in Charleroi, Pennsylvania. It's going to be a beautiful day. The theme is Come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and you know what? It's going to just be this opportunity for us to be open to the spiritual blessings that God wants for us to receive. And as I like to say, if you want those spiritual blessings, well, you've got to get under the spot where the glory pours out. I'm going to be there speaking with Mike Aquilina, Father Levi Hartle, and Joseph Jacobs are going to be regaling us with beautiful, beautiful inspirational music for adoration through Praise Nation. The information is there for you at our website. You're going to see it in the slideshow. It's number one. You can click on that. It's going to take you to a landing page. You can also get there at the bottom of the page by going to upcoming events section. And I just know that it's going to be an amazing, amazing opportunity for us to come together. We're going to have a daily mass at 8:30 in the morning. We're going to have registration going on. We're going to feed you. We're going to feed you lunch and dinner. We will also have an opportunity for the Pentecost Vigil Mass, and that's going to be followed by time of praise and adoration with Praise Nation. So I am very eager for this. It's just a wonderful thing to have an opportunity to come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and to open ourselves up to what it is that God wants to do in us, what he wants to do by way of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, of course, we're thinking about the upper room when we're talking about Pentecost. We're thinking about that moment that the Holy Spirit fell down upon Our Lady and the other holy women who were there with her, but upon the apostles as well. And you remember what happened. Those apostles were filled with such courage, with such strength. They became erudite. They became public speakers, all because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to do something like that in your life. And he did. He began it at your baptism. He confirmed you in and strengthened you in the gifts of your baptism through your sacrament of confirmation. He's nourishing those gifts that you received through every time you receive the Eucharist. He heals you and puts you back together again through the sacrament of reconciliation. And then if you have a particular sacrament that you've received based on your state in life, if you're a priest, sacrament of holy orders, if you're a married person, sacrament of matrimony. You know, again, he's giving you gifts. This God of ours cannot be outdone in generosity. He wants to give us gifts. And these gifts are meant for our edification and sanctification, but also for the edification and sanctification of the church and the world. So when we realize that we are not bit players in God's plan of salvation, but we are key players in God's plan of salvation, why then it gives us a thirst and a hunger for the things of the Lord. This is one way in which we can begin to quench that thirst. But I got to tell you something, it's really interesting. When the Lord quenches your thirst, it's quenched for half a second, and then he gives you even a greater thirst because what you taste in that half a second of quenching is so amazing, right? That you just want more and more and more and more and more of what God has to give. And more and more and more and more and more is coming your way through this beautiful event taking place at St. Andrew the Apostle Catholic Church in Charleroi, Pennsylvania on June the 7th. It's right outside of Pittsburgh, not too far. So we invite you to check that out at our website. Other things are coming up there too for you. I do want to remind you about the beautiful time that we're going to have with our young women of grace. That is going to be by way of, an evening for them, an online event. And it's June the 13th. The Eucharist and the Sacred Heart of Jesus is the theme for this. So it's going to be lovely. We want for your young women to come because we want for them to understand how important they are in the plan of God. And also, to enter more deeply into their life of faith. You know, God has big plans for his young people. And aren't we seeing that in a very explicit way through the upcoming canonization of Carlo Acutis and Pier Giorgio Frassati. So we see that there is this emphasis on youth. It's like heaven is calling our attention to the youth. They're going to be the ones that carry on the faith into the next generations. So we want to appeal to them, and this is a beautiful way. So moms, bring your daughters. Grandmas, bring your granddaughters. Godmothers, bring your goddaughters. Your teachers, bring your students. Aunties, bring your nieces. You know, you're all welcome to join them for this Young Women of Grace event. There is no registration fee. It's free. Just go out there to our website, click on it, sign up. You'll get the link. We want you to join us as it's unfolding on June the 13th. But in addition to that, we want you to know that you will receive a link where you can go back and watch it a second time. There's more to come on the other side of this break. I hope that it's you a coming through your phone calls and your messages left for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. That toll-free number again, 833-288-EWTN. Coming right back, it's Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today on this beautiful day in the Lord. It is Thursday. It's actually Ascension Thursday, but we celebrate now Ascension Thursday on Ascension Sunday. Today is not a holy day of obligation in most dioceses, but a few of the dioceses hold to Ascension Thursday, and it is a holy day of obligation within those diocesan boundaries. So But, you know, this gives us an opportunity to just to stand back in awe of this great faith that we have. You know, our Lord rose from the dead and ascended by his own power into heaven, right? He wasn't assumed. Our Blessed Mother was assumed into heaven. Angels came and got Our Lady and lifted her up unto the heavenlies, right? But not our Lord. He ascended underneath his own power, just as he resurrected underneath his own power. And I was reading something this morning in morning prayer that I thought was quite beautiful. And I said, oh my goodness, this is such a lovely thing to pause and reflect upon and, you know, really to allow to be worked into me. It's one of the things that you know, is very important in our time of prayer. It's not our time of prayer is meant to be a time of interaction with God. Right? Saint Teresa of Avila says it's nothing more than friendly conversation with God who loves us. And there is truth to that. We want to talk with God. But in talking with God, it's not us just talking to God. It's us also waiting and listening to God. And sometimes the way that he speaks to us is by way of inspiration. And such was the case today as I was looking at morning prayer. And I came to this beautiful writing, and it kind of thrilled me a little bit to see who it was who had written this writing, and it's from a sermon of Saint Leo the Great Pope. And I thought, oh, isn't that lovely, since our new Holy Father is Saint Leo the 14th. So this harkens back to the patrimony of his name, if you will. But he's talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about, you know, our Lord being raised, you know, our Lord raising himself from the dead and then ascending into heaven. And he talks about this. Let me just read this to you. Let me just find it. He says, and so our Redeemer's visible presence, isn't this interesting? Our Redeemer's visible presence, remember, his visible presence left us, right? When he ascended into heaven. Right? It left us in terms of this world's vision. But he says this, and so our Redeemer's visible presence has passed into the sacraments. And I just sat with that for a moment, you know? And the image came into my mind, you know, of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, ascending into heaven. The sacraments were instituted, and his presence, the entirety of that reality of his presence now has passed into the sacraments. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about every time we receive a sacrament of the church, and the sacraments of the church that we can receive over and over again, sacrament of reconciliation and the reception of our Lord's body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. His presence is there. We know that. We know that in faith. But God wants us to know it experientially as well. He wants for us to open our hearts to the mystery that's happening. He wants for us to recognize and realize that though we cannot see Jesus with our eyes, although some people are graced with that kind of an extraordinary gift, the majority are not. The majority of us know we are not gifted with that. But even though our eyes can't see, the mystery is real nonetheless. And it is, in a certain way, as St. Leo the Great writes, it's nobler and stronger. So he says, and so our Redeemer's visible presence has passed into the sacraments. He says, our faith is nobler and stronger because sight has been replaced by a doctrine whose authority is accepted by believing hearts enlightened from on high. And that's what we want to ask our Lord to do for us. We want to ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts, to illuminate our hearts, to you know, put our souls on fire for the reality that is true and that we know by faith. But in that enlightening, in that flaming of the heart with the mystery, We know it in an experiential way, and we can return to that experiential way every single time we receive the Eucharist. So, you know, on this day that in most countries of the world is still celebrated as Ascension Thursday, and in some of our dioceses, Ascension Thursday, we should ask God for that. You know, he wants to give us every spiritual blessing in the heavens. We talk about that. He wants to imbue us with the totality of the abundant life of our Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that restricts that is our sin, our attachments, and our disbelief. But when we believe, when we seek that beautiful grace that comes to us by way of the sacrament of reconciliation, when we are absolved of our sin, and when we're nourished through the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're making ourselves present to that, then there is nothing that prohibits us from receiving that abundance of life that God wants us to know. And the saints knew it. You know, the saints knew it. And in those moments of darkness, you know, because oftentimes in the spiritual journey, we go through the dark night of the senses, we go through the dark night of the soul. It's not always about the consolation, but the taste of that consolation holds us through those dark times. We go back and revisit it. And we know that what that moment held for us was that fullness of grace that is always ours if we're in a state of grace and if we are open to receiving. So we should ask for that. So again, I'll read this now again. And so our Redeemer's visible presence is passed into the sacraments. Our faith is nobler and stronger because sight has been replaced by a doctrine whose authority is accepted by believing hearts enlightened from on high. He says, this faith was increased by the Lord's ascension and strengthened by the gift of the Spirit. It would remain unshaken by fetters and imprisonment, exile and hunger, fire and ravening beasts, and the most refined tortures ever devised by brutal persecutors. He's talking here specifically about the apostles. He says, throughout the world, women no less than men, tender girls as well as boys, have given their life's blood in the struggle for this faith. He says, it is a faith that has driven out devils, healed the sick, and raised the dead. He writes, and this is St. Leo the Great, even the blessed apostles, though they had been strengthened by so many miracles and instructed by so much teaching, took fright at the cruel suffering of the Lord's passion and could not accept his resurrection without hesitation. Yet they made such progress through his ascension that they now found joy in what had terrified them before. They were able to fix their minds on Christ's divinity as he sat at the right hand of his Father, since what was presented to their bodily eyes no longer hindered them from turning all their attention to the realization that he had not left his Father when he came down to earth. Here, this is beautiful. Nor had he abandoned his disciples when he ascended into heaven. Isn't that lovely? And so the very grace that the apostles received, God desires you receive too by way of the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants for you. So that no matter what you go through, no matter what cruel or brutal persecution you experience, no matter the ravening beasts that seek to tear you apart, now not necessarily those that they met in Colosseums, but the beasts of our day and time that would seek to undermine your efforts, sometimes coming in the form of various ideologies, sometimes coming in the form of unkind or even brutal people, no matter what kind of imprisonment, no matter what kind of exile, no matter what kind of hunger or fire, our Lord is there for you. He is right there. He is present to you in that moment, even as he sits at the right hand of the Father, even as he instructs the Holy Spirit to pour out upon you every spiritual blessing you need to be those more than conquerors in him. The apostles experienced it so much so that they were willing, with the exception of one, to go to a torturous death. And the exception who was one, the beloved disciple, would have accepted that persecution gladly. In some ways, I think it was probably more difficult for St. John the Apostle to not be martyred than it would have been to be martyred, because he so longed to be conformed to the image of his Savior, his Lord, the one whom he followed, our Lord Jesus Christ. Would that we would have that kind of faith. Would that we would be willing to stand firm. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us here live on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. And I can't have holy conversation with you if you don't call. We have Jack Williams on the phone today. He is rarely on the phone, so this is like a singular opportunity. So give him a call today so that I can chat with you. 833-288-EWTN. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Just use the chat feature there to put in your question or comment. Pedro Quiles will retrieve it and get it up on the board. You can also text your question or comment to us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Tell us who you are, where you are, how you are listening. Know that data rates and message rates may apply depending upon your plan. Whatever you do, get in touch with us today. Let's have some holy conversation. Maybe you've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in a very keen way, right? Maybe you were in the midst of being torn to shreds by ravaged beasts. Maybe you were in the straits of experiencing other types of persecution. Maybe you were imprisoned and are now set free, whether it was an imprisonment through, an incarceration, or whether it was an imprisonment through drugs or alcohol, and now you've been set free. Tell us about it, because that was the power of God releasing you. It was through the Holy Spirit falling upon you and setting you free. We want to hear about it today. This is what we're all about as we approach Ascension Sunday. It's what we're all about even today, Ascension Thursday, in so many countries and in some of the dioceses here. Let's talk about it. What has been this Easter experience of yours that's come your way at a given point in time in your life? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Inviting you to give us a call here so that we can have that holy conversation with you. So I was out here also looking in Divine Intimacy by Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene, and he talks with us about the Ascension in Meditation 179. And I had it open, and don't you know, the book closed up on me. So I am moving my way to that meditation now, and I am almost there. Here it is, right before that, it's Mary's Hope. That sounds very interesting. Here we are, the Ascension of our Lord, 40 days after Easter. And here is the little prayer that forms the intention of our heart as we read the meditation. O Jesus, who ascended into heaven, grant that I too may live there in spirit. Ooh, I like that. O Jesus, who ascended into heaven, grant that I too may live there in spirit. You know, of course, that when you're in the state of grace, that heaven is within you. You know that, right? When Jesus says, the kingdom of God is at hand, he was speaking specifically about him bringing the kingdom of God, right? But that kingdom of God dwells within us, especially by way of the sacraments. And when we're in a state of grace, we experience heaven in our soul. So we can go there. And that's what this little prayer is acknowledging. O Jesus, who ascended into heaven, grant that I too may live there in spirit. We live there in spirit with our Lord Jesus Christ by way of the grace that fills our hearts, sanctifying grace. So he talks with us about lifting our hearts and our minds toward heaven. And he quotes St. Leo as well. He says that Christ's ascension, says St. Leo, is our own ascension. Our body has the hope of one day being where its glorious head has preceded it. And remember, he reminds us that our Lord had already said in his discourse after the Last Supper, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I shall go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you also may be. So heaven awaits you. There is a room for you, a place for you in heaven. I used to tell my grandmother, she was 94 years old, and she would lament to me. She would say, I just don't know why God doesn't take me home yet. I just don't know why he doesn't take me home yet. And I said, well, Graham, apparently he's not finished with you yet, nor is he finished with your room up there in heaven. I said, you don't want to get there before he hangs the curtains, do you? And she would laugh and say, oh, no, no, no. I want it to be all well-furnished when I get there. And I said, well, good. So don't lament. He's going to take you there when he's ready for you. But isn't it reassuring to know that heaven is already preparing for you and that heaven in your soul is a taste, is a foretaste of what you're going to experience in the full in heaven? He says, the ascension is then a feast of joyful hope. A sweet, he uses the words, foretaste of heaven. By going before us, Jesus, our head, has given us the right to follow him there someday. And we can even say with St. Leo, in the person of Christ, we have penetrated the heights of heaven. How about that? So to the extent that you are full of the Spirit of the living God, to the extent you are already experiencing the great reality of life on high in Christ Jesus. So there's every reason to hope. And I love the fact that Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene says that the ascension is a feast of hope. It is a feast of hope. We hold on for that glorious moment when we ascend into the heavenlies, right? And I think that, you know, I like to think about that moment. You know, our guardian angel is going to accompany us. I always ask our Blessed Mother, please come and get me. Please come and get me with my guardian angel and walk me to your son. You know, here's an interesting thing as we go to the break. Think about this. Every time you walk down the aisle to receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity, you should ask your guardian angel and our Blessed Mother to accompany you down that aisle. Because that in and of itself is a prefigurement of you entering into heaven to be joined to Christ for all eternity, to be wedded to him as his bride. Isn't that beautiful? And with that kind of an intentionality, walking down the aisle to receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity, we are preparing ourselves for that glorious moment, and we get a foretaste of that glorious moment even as we arrive and receive him there at the altar of our church. We're going to be right back. 833-288-EWTN. Give us a call.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. What a joy it is to be with you today. I'm just so excited. I love being with you Monday through Friday at this same time on this same station, talking about things of importance to our life and faith and having holy conversation with you. Do give me a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. My husband, Jack Williams, is on the phones today. So we invite you, please, to give a call. In addition to that, you can leave a message for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You do that right in the chat feature there. We'll get it collected and up on the board. You can text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Tell us who you are, where you are, how you're listening. Know that message and data rates may apply if you use that option. We've got Patty out there in Akron, Ohio today. She is listening to us via Living Bread Radio. So grateful for Living Bread Radio. So grateful for carrying our program. Hi, Patty. How are you?
Hi. Good morning, John Ed. I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I am just dandy. Thank you. I'm all excited about the feast.
I am too. The Holy Spirit has really been a presence in my life, especially after I was praying to him. This has been over 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I asked for him to be more revealed to me. And at the time, the life chain was going on in Akron, Ohio. And so, long story short, I didn't know where we were supposed to meet, so I called the local pro-life office, and they gave me an address. Well, the address ended up being an abortion clinic.
Oh,
They were protest or witnessing in front of there.
Okay.
And I didn't know that. So I went to pull into the parking lot, not knowing that. And they were trying to hand me pamphlets. I'm like, no, I'm one of you. I just want to know where to park. And, anyway, long story short again, I did my witnessing there. We held signs in that. They gave us all signs if we wanted them. And I took one. And then we walked back to our cars, and the gentleman that was collecting what I thought was collecting the signs. He said, I said, here's your sign back. And he says, oh, no. He says, keep that. He says, for the next time, you know, we witness here occasionally. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I thought to myself, there's no way I'm going back because of the scent that we felt from the people driving by. They weren't very, very nice.
yes. But they were not, you know what? Not appreciative of what you were doing.
Exactly. And I felt truly, the only way I can describe it is like the Holy Spirit was directing me that, no, I get emotional, sorry. This was my path. This was what I was supposed to do. And I was drawn like a magnet to keep going at least once a week and witnessing with these lovely people that I had met. And I did that for a little bit over 10 years. And I met all kinds of people, went to all different kinds of abortuaries, witnessing outside. And that's how the Holy Spirit moved in my life. And he continues to do different things.
Oh, Patty, what a remarkable story. And, you know, I just love the way that you expressed it. And I thank you for your emotion, because I think that kind of interior response that leads to an emotional response is always an indication of the authenticity of a word that we've received. And you saw the fruit of that word. And I want to say something about this too. When the Lord calls us to a task, he gives us the desire for it. The desire doesn't always precede the request of the Lord. Sometimes it does. In my case, it did. I knew he wanted me to do something, but I didn't know what it was, and he wasn't telling me. But the desire for whatever it was just growing and growing and growing until I thought that my heart would burst. And then finally, he told me what it was. And I certainly didn't think that that was anything I could possibly do. But here I am, and I've been doing it all these years. In your case, the desire didn't precede it. But as soon as you gave fiat to it, as soon as you said yes, it just burst within you. But the interesting thing is, too, that you had the discernment to know that it was the voice of the Holy Spirit that you were hearing. And that is what trust you exhibited in that, what beautiful trust, what a Marian disposition of heart you experienced there. And you had been praying to the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the Holy Spirit and our Blessed Lady are always together. They're just always together. They work together. And so it's not surprising to me that your response was such a Marian response to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful witness and testimony. I am so grateful. I am so grateful for everything that you've done. Thank you so much, Patty.
Annette, God bless you.
God bless you. You know, and I think that Patty gives us great witness. Sometimes we are afraid to step forward. We think, I could never do this, Lord, you know? And the fact of the matter is, probably on your own, you could not. But with the Holy Spirit, you know, what does Jesus say? You know, with God, all things are possible. When you have the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. I'm quite certain that it was the activity of the Holy Spirit in his humanity that helped our Lord to carry that cross and be crucified. You know, the Holy Spirit can help us to do things beyond our capability, beyond our understanding, and beyond the talents that we would call our natural talents that we're born with. He'll use us in all kinds of different ways, and it's an exciting life. Did you hear what Patty said? It was exciting. She met so many fantastic people along the way. And think of the numbers of lives that she saved. 10 years. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. Thank you, Patty. Let's get to Anne. Anne is in Long Island, New York, and she is listening to us today via Veritas Catholic Radio. Good morning, Anne. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Thank you. I've been listening to you on EWTN for 30 years, but I am a first-time caller.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know.
I am ringing my bell. 30
yes.
years it took you to gain the courage to give us a call, Anne.
Yes, finally. I started listening. I found EWTN in 96, right after I got married.
Beautiful.
So that's 30 years, almost 30 years, right? Yeah.
Yep. Very close.
And I had a question. I had watched, I used to watch your shows fairly regularly, and you had a guest on, I believe it was your show. She was a woman. She was an artist. And she was talking about her inspiration for art. And she would see these, I don't want to say they were visions. She would see art in front of her driving down a highway or whatever. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yes. Yes, it does. As a matter of fact, we've done a few shows on Lexio Divina, on Visio Divina. And for those of you that are not familiar with that terminology, Visio Divina is a way of entering into prayer, much like Lexio Divina. Lexio Divina is holy reading and Visio Divina is holy seeing. So we'll look at a piece of religious art, for example, and we'll just be open to it. And we'll do with that piece of art what we would do with a passage in scripture or some other holy reading. And that is we look at it in Lexio Divina, we would read it and then we wait, we see what impresses us. You know, where is our eye drawn, for example, into this beautiful image that we're looking at? What's the first thing that we notice? Like right now, I'm looking at the Divine Mercy. Jack and I have a beautiful image of Divine Mercy that hangs right in front of this, you know, my little studio area here. So I'm looking at Jesus, and the first thing that captures my eye today as I'm looking at this image are the eyes of Jesus. So I would sit there now and I would just look at those eyes and I would say, Lord, what are you sharing with me? And I would allow myself to be open to a movement of grace that would be being presented to me in some way through that aspect of this image. So that is what Visio Divina is. Katie Weiss was our guest for one of those shows, and she talked with us about Visio Divina. So I'm not sure if you're referring to her or not, but we also had a beautiful artist on, and I'm going to go out here and because I don't want to misname her and see if I can get for you her exact name. Just a beautiful, beautiful, lovely lady. And here she is right away. And I knew it was Kate, but I couldn't remember her last name. It's Kate Capato. And I believe she's the one you're referring to. She is an artist, and she took us into some of her own artwork as those programs unfolded. So it's either Kate Capato or, interestingly enough, Katie Weiss. So one of those two, but I think it's probably Kate Capato.
Been looking, searching. I just didn't know. I never heard of Visio Divina, though. So that's new for me. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. So you could go out to our website if you wanted to, Anne. Go to womenofgrace.com. Click on television, the word television. It will open up. And you can just put in the, search it by the term Visio, V-I-S-I-O, Visio Divina. And all of the shows that we've done on Visio Divina will come up. It's a beautiful way to pray. You know, the icons in the Eastern Rite churches very often are used for Visio Divina. As a matter of fact, those icons are said to be written as opposed to get painted or, you know, using sketching or whatever. Because they're said to be written because they're communicating a truth to us, right? And there's actually, when the artist is writing an icon, the artist has prayed and fasted for a number of days and does this through prayer. And so there is said to be a type of holy presence in the icon. So I love to pray with the icons. So I recommend that to you. But any one of the sacred works of art can take us very deeply into contemplative prayer.
He said he would always look at a painting for his inspiration for a homily, and he talked about an icon today. So
well,
I don't know, there's no coincidences, but maybe that's what inspired me to call and find out about this guest you had on many years ago.
Yes, Kate Capato, C-A-P-A-T-O. And as I say, you can look her up by name at our website, or you can look up Physio Divina and get all of the programming that we did. But you could also probably do a Google search, but I don't think that that'll take you to the shows that we did. So, you know, watch them again with this little bit of an explanation. It might be something that the Holy Spirit's prompting you toward. I sort of think that since you called today and you had heard that homily and some of that's getting repeated back to you, that's the way the Holy Spirit confirms things. So I think maybe the Lord has something very, very beautiful in mind for you through Visio Divina.
Thank you. And this is a very special day for me also. My husband was buried last year on Ascension Thursday.
Oh, Anne. Oh, dear. Oh, my goodness.
So it's always going to be a really extra special feast for me.
Yes. And, you know, isn't that a beautiful thing, really, when you think of that, the timing of his funeral being on Ascension Thursday? You know, you put that up against the truths of the faith, and you look at it through the eyes of faith, and he ascended to heaven as well. You know, he stood before the throne of Almighty God for his particular judgment. And what a beautiful way, I think, in which heaven was hugging you on that special day. That's beautiful, Anne.
That I believe, because we couldn't find a parish who would have a funeral mass on the feast day, and we were able to find a beautiful parish, St. James in Seaford, New York. It was beautiful, and I'm so grateful to God that it was Ascension Thursday. I still pray for my husband's soul. I have so many Gregorian masses said for him frequently, so, you know, I'm still praying him home.
Well, we do that. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas tells us something very beautiful. He tells us that, you know, of course, our prayer is outside of time and space. And he says that, you know, when we are petitioning God for any petition, but, you know, especially when we're praying for our deceased loved ones, that God works into his movements, you know, in anticipation of all of the prayers that are going to be said in time. So at the moment that your husband was standing before the throne of God for his particular judgment, he is no longer in time and space, right? So all of the prayers that would be prayed for him in time and space are efficacious for him in that moment. So, and actually, probably even in the moment when his soul is leaving the body, all of the prayers that would be prayed for him in time, God anticipates at that moment, and they're effective. They're effective in that moment. And I know that, you know, in so many cases, but most especially in the case of the death of my son, knowing that, you know, God would take all of the prayers and all of the masses that I would ever have prayed for him and apply them to that moment was so meaningful because, you know, that accrues to the good for the benefit of that soul. So, yeah, you keep praying because God anticipates those, has anticipated those prayers. I don't even know what the right, you know, tense of verb is to use there, but from all eternity, he knew those prayers were coming in.
Beautiful, and it's so comforting, because that's all I wanted for my husband was to go to heaven. That's it. Since the day married him on the altar.
Oh, that's beautiful, Anne. So very, very beautiful. Well, thank you for your call today. It's been lovely talking with you. And listen, now that you've broken the ice and giving us a call after all these years, don't be a stranger. God bless you now. Bye-bye. We're going to go to Dennis, but before we go to Dennis, we've got a comment here from Joe on YouTube. He says, I saw a saying, Lord, why do you lead me through troubled water? The answer was, because your enemies can't swim. You know, Joe, it's interesting. I heard that recently and I had never heard it before. I really, really like that. The saying, friends, Lord, why do you lead me through such troubled waters? And the Lord answers, because your enemies can't swim, because you're safe in those troubled waters. Also, too, you know, in those troubled waters, we depend completely upon God. And it's in learning to depend completely upon him that we find the hope to continue and to know that those troubled waters will never, ever capsize us, that we will always move forward in him. All right, Dennis, you're up next. You are here with us via Sirius XM Station 130 there in New York. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jeanette. Thank you again for everything you do. Before I make my comment, just two simple prayer requests for you and your listeners. Alex Vega, he's 18 years old. He has terminal cancer. He has 3 months to live, and he has a newborn baby at home.
Oh,
so
goodness.
Prayers for him. And at Mass this morning, I met a woman. She was crying a little bit, and I tried to comfort her. Tomorrow, her sister, Shalandi, is having brain surgery done, an operation. So if we could pray for them. And what I wanted to call in, Jeanette, and say is, your caller from Akron, Ohio, who was witnessing at an abortion clinic, I do that all the time, and I get cursed at. I get the middle finger pointed at me, and I love it. And I love it because, as I told your caller, your husband, God said, when they curse you out in my name, your reward in heaven will be great. That means I'm going to heaven. I can't believe it. And I love it. And 99% of the time when I evangelize and when I meet young people, you know, just talking to them about sports, the Knicks or whatever, I bring up church if they go or not. And 99% of them will listen to me. And out of 168 hours a week, just give God 1 hour at Mass and get that blessing at the end of the Mass. And 99% of the people, one will curse at me or say something, even though I just met him. But that's okay, because God said, I'm going to heaven, and my reward is going to be great there. So just, I want to leave it at that, Jeanette. And
I love it, Dennis.
Thank you for what you do.
You're so welcome. I absolutely love it. I mean, and those are the eyes of faith, folks. You want to know what the eyes of faith look like? Well, they look like Dennis's eyes, right? He's seeing this from the context of sacred scripture and the promises of the Lord. And that's the way that we need to look at life. Here's the other thing. You never know when you're planting a seed. So the very people that curse you are not going to forget you. And they're not going to forget what you said. And at some point in time, no doubt that seed is going to take root in their hearts and produce fruit in their lives. So yeah, we put up with a little bit of the mess of it all. But the fact of the matter is, it's a holy mess. A holy mess is a good mess. Thank you, Dennis. I will remember those two requests that you gave to us in prayer. And Father God, we just lift these people up to you right in this moment. We lift up to you this young man, 18 years old, has a baby at home, given 3 months to live. We know what doctors say, but we know that there is nothing impossible with you. And so it is that we ask this young man to be completely, totally, absolutely healed, the most important healing of all, his spiritual healing. But Lord, if you see fit, give him life that he might raise his child in the way in which he should go. We pray also for the woman who is having the brain surgery tomorrow. We thank you for the gift of medical science. We know that brain surgery now is nothing like it used to be. We thank you, Lord God, that in so many cases, brain surgery can correct an issue, can correct a problem. We ask, Father God, that this would be the case. Guide the hands of the surgeon and bring wholeness and health to this beautiful lady that's having the surgery tomorrow. We offer this to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with a maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. Dennis, thank you so much. I'm going to try to squeeze Melissa in here from Perryland, Texas, first-time caller. Welcome, Melissa. We just have a couple of minutes left, dearest, but I'm happy to get you on the air today.
Hi. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever everyone is.
Thank you.
I just was prompted. I'm a first-time caller. I was prompted to talk to you. The EWTN radio was talking about Mary, the month of Mary, all the Marian prayers, and I as we pray about for pro-life and for, you know, saying yes to life, I'm a first-time mother who said yes to life. Also, like, with a child who, you know, in this medical world, they usually get prompted for termination because they consider them life-limiting and not compatible with life. But I offered that cross to Mary and Jesus and the Sacred Heart, and it, saying yes has been the greatest honor of my life, but also my daughter gained her wings on Christmas after 2 months. And while that has been the most horrendous day of my life, I've seen where the Holy Spirit has taught me to be a pro-life advocate for women who face the same diagnosis. And I give that glory to God, because I never knew that sometimes your callings is greater than you, and in spaces in the world where the Lord needs his hands and feet and heart, most importantly. And being that heart, it gives life to my daughter's legacy, that somehow that these women can choose life when the medical world wants to pressure you otherwise.
Melissa, you know, I want to congratulate you on your bravery, on your courage. I want to compliment you and just edify you in terms of your faithfulness and the beauty with which you express this very painful story. And you are right. This is a beautiful legacy that your daughter has left. She has shown us that every life is important from the moment of conception until natural death, and that we permit that life to come into its fullness, because we know that God is going to work something out of it. And she certainly has been that for you in your life. She has been an instrument of the Lord and an instrument of the Lord in the lives of so many. Melissa, thank you so much for your testimony and your witness today. God bless all of you. Bye-bye now.